Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071fm. You can download free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device, WWGH. If you would like to call in and ask any questions of myself or my guest today, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hole Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.locoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Every second Saturday of every month, they have free produce market. The time, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. No appointment or pre-registration required. All you need to do is show up and provide your name and number of people in your family. And that produce market will take place May the 11th. So mark your calendars for that. We have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company, LLC, with 25 years of experience working for you. And that telephone number is 740-262-0939. And they are out of LaRue, Ohio. Have a thought for you today. A calm mind. That's the title. A calm mind can find the answer. The best way to deal with a situation is to start by calming the mind. Only a calm mind can find the answers to problems instead of facing your problems or worries with worries or negative thoughts. I thought that was good because some people, they go to negativity immediately. Well, that's not going to work. I just don't feel like it's good for me, but let's stay positive. I have a returning guest with me today, Tamika Vincent Reed.
Yes.
Yes. How are you today?
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Linda.
And I'm so glad you came. Sorry for little things, you know, but it was right on time.
That's okay. We're going to keep a positive mind, right? That's today's mantra, so we're going to stay right in line with that.
Absolutely. And she's associated with, are you the director or assistant director?
So I'm not. I'm the marketing and development director with Helpline.
Okay. And this is Sexual Assault Response Awareness Month, right?
Yes. So Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And who I have with me today from Helpline is Nora Flanagan. She is our Sexual Assault Response Network coordinator.
Okay.
And also Christy Timbrook. She is our SARN, which is the acronym for Sexual Assault Response Network. She's our SARN manager. So they're both with me here today to talk a little bit about, again, Sexual Assault Awareness Month and what we could do as a community to respond to it and how we can support survivors.
Right. Absolutely. Don't forget, if you have any questions or you may know of someone who have had a terrible experience like some of the experiences we will be talking about, please call to connect with one of my guests. Whether it's Nori, Chrissy, or Tamika, that telephone number again is 740-383-9944. So, who wants to start, Nora or Christy? How did you get involved into this, I was going to say ministry, because to me it's like a ministry when you are in a position to help and reach out to other people. So, how did you get started? Christy, right?
That's a good question. So I actually have a degree in creative writing.
Okay.
I'm a graduate of seminary, and I went another path. And so I ended up working at Choices. It's a domestic violence shelter in Franklin County, and they had a program that they do up at the Ohio Reformatory for Women. And so for several years, I started working with women who were there as a direct result of domestic violence. And so loved the work and fell in love with it. And here I am. It's been almost, 15 years.
Oh, my.
That I've been doing something like this. Yeah.
And you graduate of seminary, you said, right?
I did, years ago. Yep.
Just didn't know what your ministry was going to be.
Here it is, right?
Right, here it is.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we never know which way the Lord is going to lead us, but he never makes a mistake. And you are?
I'm Nora.
Okay, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks for having us.
Of course.
I, kind of like Christy, came out of something totally different. I went to graduate school for art and photography, but then had a volunteer position with the felony courts and then went into a full-time position for a year. And then volunteered with Helpline and just fell in love with it, really found it was my calling. It's that cheesy. I wake up every morning and I get to go to work. I really do. And help people. So that's kind of how I came to it.
Well, that's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. What about you, Tamika?
Oh, wow. So my history is a bit varied. It's not as, I don't even know if yours is linear, but mine is really based upon, I think, just the general activist background. So my mother is here in the community. She does a lot with empowering girls and women.
Yes.
And so I've been raised with the model to basically just give back. So I went to school in communications. I always knew I wanted to write about interesting things. I was a journalist of several years, and some of the topical matters that I wrote about just really spoke to me, and specifically helping people in crisis, connecting them to increase their quality of life. So Helpline really just, it aligned with where my passion and where my heart was. And so I initially started out in corporate and quickly figured out that that was just not the place for me. And so came to Helpline. And actually, I've worked at Helpline twice. So that just tells, that goes to show that Helpline is one of those places that it really does call you. I think you both have mentioned that. The work, it finds you, and it fuels you as well. So much like Christy and Nora, I just found myself coming back here and enjoying the work. So, yeah.
And what do you love about it the most, Christy?
Good question. I think what I love about it is day in and day out, we, you know, do individual cases, work with folks on an individual basis. But I now have the perspective of all these years, and I'm able to see progress, and I'm able to see how conversations culturally have changed. I'm able to see, you know, myself and my colleagues grow up in this field and really be at a point of it's working. You know, there are things that are working. There is so much work to do, of course. But yeah, if you just keep, you know, every day scratching away at it, we're there. We're getting there. So
that's great. That's great. Myself, I don't really stay in news like I would like to, but sometimes I can't handle it. It's too much. I know you can, you know, relate to some of that. And like she said, her mother, and I've worked with her mother with the girls group, Girls Empowerment Circle. Plus, I have four daughters of my own, and every woman's story is different. And I don't know if it's on the rise or on the decline, or what do you think?
It's actually
being assaulted.
Yeah, statistics have shown that it's actually on the decline. However, it's really hard to track because so many are underreported. And we know that that's from stigma. People are afraid they won't be believed or that they'll be blamed. You know, and it doesn't just happen to women. I have two sons, 15 and 11. And we've started that conversation pretty early, and also just the respect that men in particular should have for everyone.
True. And mothers and daughters should be encouraged to let their sons know in advance about these things, because they could end up doing it the wrong way. You know, harassing a woman or just asking the wrong way. Just, you know what I'm saying, trying to say, really don't know how to relate to people. And I think that's a big problem with people, or trying to force a woman to, or even a young man or a young boy, because like you said, it's not just based on women anymore. It's just, it's one of those things.
I think there's definitely something to be said for people who do these acts, you know, commit these crimes, they know what they're doing. This is something that they're going to do. They've decided this. On the other hand, what's great about this cultural dialogue and the dialogue between, you know, mothers and fathers and their children, is that we create a community that doesn't allow it anymore. And so the more we talk about respect, the more we talk about these are the boundaries for yourself and for your body for the folks that you interact with every day, that's the change that is coming, and that's the change that then creates accountability. So for people who are like, they're just going to behave in these ways, the community can come behind and start believing survivors, start supporting folks who have experienced these. And that's a significant change, and that's the exciting piece. It really is.
I think, too, with the Me Too movement, that has really brought a lot of things to light and opened the dialogue between people that may not normally be talking about this. And hopefully it's lifting some of the stigma so that more survivors can, you know, let people know what happened. I know for me in this position in the last couple of years, I've definitely had an uptick of callers saying that either triggered by, you know, something like the Brett Kavanaugh hearings or, you know, other people, Hollywood stars saying what happened to them and then they get, it's on the news. So just really helping people, you know, navigate that. What does that mean? Is this coming up for them? Because it's different for every person. It's different for every survivor.
That's true. That's
but the fact that it's a national conversation now, I'm actually really uplifted by that.
You're so right. I just, when you was talking, I thought about poor Joe Biden. It even came out about him, you know. And just, go ahead.
Well, no, and it's interesting you say that because one of the things I can disrespect about Nora having the conversation with her sons about what is healthy masculinity? You know, what is healthy boundaries? What is it that men can do to support survivors? And I think that education has to start early. Yes. And it's interesting because Joe Biden, not to excuse any of his, you know, making women uncomfortable because, again, consent is real and you need to understand boundaries. But it's interesting in that in the day and age in which he was doing it, the awareness and it seems like the willingness to talk about it didn't seem as prominent and didn't seem as, I guess, open as far as dialogue. And so now that we're having these conversations, he's actually recognizing his behaviors and having to now, one, own it and apologize for it. So it's very interesting that we're in a day and age where now we really have a platform, and not that there wasn't one, but now it just seems, again, it's more open and we're able to talk about it and course correct.
We had a platform, but it was so dogmatic. You know, that's why a lot of women won't say anything. You're the victim, right? But now you're the aggressor. It was because of what you said or what you had on and you know, how you walked or talked. You know, it was all your fault. And so that was our platform.
A lot of myths, a lot of rape myths, and a lot of cultural myths that, again, it's, you know, you must have asked for it. Or, again, to your point, it was how you were dressed. And, you know, assault, no one invites
she
assault.
She winked at me. Or, you know, just... Come on.
Yeah. No one invites assault. Assault is about...
Come on.
But they'll make up something like that. Like, it was our fault. We did it. You know, we did it. So that was our platform then. But I thank God that that platform is changing because there are a lot of women coming forth, you know. Bill Cosby and, I mean, a lot. Even our president. Even him. I mean, he was... There was a line of women behind him, too, you know, so.
Absolutely.
What can you say?
We can say a lot. You know, I mean, there are so many things that that we all have to say. And I think it's so interesting that even from decades ago, people are still coming out and talking about this now. And so I think it also shows us the great impact and the negative impact that these actions have had on the people who have gone through this. But on the other hand, that they're still able to kind of lock into this power and kind of lock into this new dialogue. And my goal, of course, and our goal at Helpline in this work is how do we turn dialogue into action and community action? How do we then bring the Me Too movement to our, you know, to Marion and to Del, you know, to all of our little communities up here, and really create the community response and support folks.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about what the helpline is all about, mm-hmm. reaching out to mm-hmm. people who call you, and how do they get in touch with you, and when they do, when you do receive their calls, how do you receive them?
Well, one of the things that as working with survivors of sexual assault or relationship violence specifically is I try to make sure that they understand, you know, what sexual assault is.
Right.
And also for other community members, some people may not know that they've been assaulted or that their boundaries have been crossed. You know, sexual assault, as we were talking about the Me Too movement, mm-hmm. not a Hollywood issue only. It affects all communities. It requires a community response, you know, and so that's a helpline. We try to really involve the community. When I speak individually with survivors, mm-hmm. I make sure they understand that sexual assault is any unwanted sexual activity that you don't agree in a situation we are coerced, threatened, forced, unconscious, intoxicated. All of those things legally, you cannot give consent. So just knowing that, understanding it, and really kind of empowering the people that I speak with right. to realize that this did happen to you. It's not fair, but people are really resilient, and then helping teach those tools going forward to heal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I still think that, you know, parents should share that more with their mm-hmm. children, mm-hmm. whether male or female.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even to be touched, and I don't want you to touch me. You know, just put your hands on me. Keep your hands to yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people need to know that, right?
Right. And we know that it's usually someone we know that's our perpetrator. Mm-hmm. It absolutely can be the person behind the bush, but statistics show that it's usually a trusted family member, community member. So really knowing that, you know, sometimes we say, oh, this person is a monster. Well, no, they're just a person, and unfortunately people can do this.
Right.
So just teaching people to be aware of it's often a trusted individual.
Right. Are there any specific steps that a person needs to go through once they've contacted the hotline?
Well, first, I think that is the first step, is right. to get connected to our 24-hour confidential and free hotline. And that number is 1-800-684-2324. You can also get in contact with us by texting the word helpline, all mm-hmm. one word, no spaces, to 898-211. And so that's one of the first steps that you can take to get connected to our SARM program, is through that hotline. Mm-hmm. And we often do outreach programs. There's certain survivor-centric programs that Nora puts on, as well as Christy. Mm-hmm. So there are ways that we can get survivors to engage with us. But that first step is really making that connection to our services through right. our hotline.
Mm-hmm. Right. So after that, then what happens?
We can, we follow what the survivor is wanting to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And so if they are wanting somebody to talk with and somebody to kind of just walk them through, you know, what the process could be for law enforcement, or give them some information about what it would be like to go to a hospital to get a medical exam.
Right.
We can absolutely inform them in that, you know, first phone call or the second phone call about these are the options that are available to you. Mm-hmm. And they may not want to pursue the criminal justice system. They may not want to go to the hospital. We can still provide advocacy. And what advocacy simply is that, again, we just walk with people. They can give us a call. We can educate them, you know, a little bit about what trauma is, what it can kind of maybe look like in general. And then we offer a lot of referrals. And so we know the folks in the communities in Delaware County and Morrow County, Crawford and Wyandotte mm-hmm. and Marion County. Right. And then referring people and really linking them to the trauma treatment or to support groups, either through helpline or through, you know, places in their area that they could attend.
Right. So could you summarize maybe one of the outstanding experiences you've heard of as far as over the hotline?
Well, Christy is the program manager, so she makes sure SARN runs and everything goes okay. Luckily for me, I just do direct service, so I get to work one-on-one with survivors, and every case is different.
Sure.
However, if something comes through the hotline, a call from a sexual assault survivor, mm-hmm. often it will get transmitted to me. Mm-hmm. And if it does, like Christy was saying, everything is their choice. but I will let them know their choices.
Right.
So one choice people can have if the assault was within 96 hours is to go to the hospital.
Right.
And there's a couple reasons people may want to do this. Mm-hmm. Medically to get checked out to make sure you may not have any injuries that you don't know about.
Right.
Plus, and I don't normally say this when I'm working one-on-one right away, because when you say evidence collection, people automatically think like they're in a jury box, you know, and we know it hardly ever gets that far. However, if they do choose to report to law enforcement in the future, which we can help them with, or at the time when they're at the hospital, collecting evidence on their body and saving it for future prosecution is helpful if they do decide to go that route. But again, every survivor, it's their choice of what happens.
So what about psychological needs? Do you also help lead them that way, or?
So advocates, we are not licensed professionals, licensed clinicians or mental health counselors. We do a lot of psychoeducation. And so I can talk a lot a bit about, gosh, this is generally what you might see in somebody who has been traumatized. Like Nora was saying, when we are, you know, advocating with somebody during the law enforcement interview or at the hospital, we work really hard to normalize behaviors and reactions. Folks respond in various different ways to what to this when it happens and occurs. And so again, just normalizing that. And then we provide a lot of support. And then we refer to, again, to the community folks. We've got great partnerships with local therapists, with local mental health agencies, and we refer people to that. The experience of sexual assault, and as we've seen again in the national dialogue, lasts for years. The impact lasts for years, and people feel it and deal with it, again, in different ways. But it truly can overwhelm folks at some point.
Yeah, you mean the experience itself is could last a lifetime, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's something that you probably, it's hard to forget. It depends on the extent of the assault.
And it depends on resiliency, you know, and again, the support in a community. And so if somebody has great support that walks with them throughout this, and if they have a community that responds, or they have a faith leader or somebody that they can really talk with, that tends to mitigate, you know, some of that harm, perhaps. But so that's why, again, why we want to work with our community so much is, you know, really building that support for folks there.
Right.
Yeah, but it lasts a lifetime.
And I'd add to that, I think that's one of the most powerful things that Helpline does provide. It's kind of a holistic perspective in that you can call our resource network. We have tens of thousands of, you know, resources that we can refer people out to. So once they've gone through SARN, what's the next step? So they may need continued counseling. There may be a whole host of things that this survivor may need. And so Helpline is that resource, that one-stop resource that can help find what that next step, or support that next step for that survivor.
Right.
And one thing that we are intervention, so we will go to the hospital. A lot of calls that we get, it may have happened 20 years ago.
Really?
And maybe they saw a news report, or maybe they've always tried to tamp it down, and suddenly it's there. So we can help people with that, too. What Tamika was saying about the holistic part, we just got done. SARN just offered an event for survivors called Nourish to Flourish.
Okay.
And it incorporated nature and art as ways of healing. And we do lots of events like that, and also an annual retreat.
Right.
And what we say is that, you know, as a survivor, it's like a club you never wanted to be in, but suddenly you're there.
Right.
A lot of the feedback we get is when people walk into an event, they suddenly feel kind of at home. Mm-hmm. Whether they talk about their story or not, they feel understood and that people get it. So in terms of the holistic part, we do have those kind of events. We have one in August coming up called Beat the Heat. And they've shown that making art, and of course that is my interest from my other life, has really helped. Sometimes you can't have words in that conversation aloud, but it can come out through other measures. So yeah, we do a lot of events like that as well.
That's good. That's good. Keeps people, you know, interested in learning, because you know, wisdom is knowledge, and knowledge is strength and power. You know, we need that as women. You know, like I said, the platform we used to have, we're feeling more empowered as women nowadays, and we have each other to hold us, you know, hold one another up, and Now we're bringing in the community, and and when I said, I act startled when you said 20 years. Why am I startled? These women are coming from 50 years ago and saying, well, this is what happened to me, you know, and this man did this to me, and I didn't like it, and he didn't have my permission, and so I shouldn't have acted startled from 20 years ago, right? Yeah. No. Whoa. And you, and to think that you carry something that long.
Well, it's never too late. It is never too late to get help. You know, we try to make sure at Helpline that people understand they're not alone. You know, right. It's not their fault, and they're not to blame. You know, we are here to help them or give them to other resources that can help them. But yeah, it's never too late to get help. And they've shown with what Christy was talking about, resiliency, it's something that can be built. It's something that can be practiced and improved upon. You know, and your brain can heal. So doing different things, you really, it's just never too late. So we want people to always feel that they're free to call no matter what.
Mm-hmm. What does those steps look like to build resiliency?
Building resiliency, a lot of it is self-care, and sometimes what people feel is taken away from them during a sexual assault is power, their belief that they can keep themselves safe, and the belief that they have value as a human being and that they deserve love. And so self-love, taking care of yourself, you know, and it's simple things. Going for a walk or a run if you enjoy it. Cooking your favorite food. Things that really kind of just you can work out your stress, exercise, things like that. But it's also about opening up a bit. So, and if you folks don't feel comfortable right away, that's why the hotline's great. It's anonymous. But really then building a support group. And that's what advocates like Nora can help with is, hey, you know, so-and-so has been your longtime friend. Do they know? Can you talk with them about this? And really then building that community, that small community around them is also part of resiliency. And then learning how to respond to the days that are rough. We're going to have rough days. It happens.
That's true.
And what can I do on those days? Who do I call? Again, what self-care things can I do to take me through the rough day?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things, too, we speak with survivors about, that there's something called triggers. Let's say if I was sexually assaulted in a red car and I see the different red cars all day, I might instantly have a pounding heartbeat, sweaty palms, a fear.
Yeah.
So lots of what we do is not if a trigger happens, but when it happens, and you're not weak, it's going to happen. So what do you do?
Right.
So we may practice breathing exercises with them. I'll talk individually and find out kind of what they do in their life. Pets is huge. When you talk to someone about their dog or their cat, like you realize how much love they get from that as a companion animal. So spending maybe more time that day doing that. Journaling has been shown to really help from PTSD and other things in order to kind of get that out and process it. So we have journals at Helpline. We get through grant funding that we're able to give out, as well as books that can further educate people.
Okay. Now, what is PTSD?
PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's interesting because there's a kind of therapy, EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprogramming, which is why I just say EMDR. But a study showed that veterans coming over after war, if they had so many sessions of this EMDR, it helped resolve some trauma. And part of that was journaling, things like that. So then they started using that with survivors of sexual assault and relationship violence, finding out that that really worked. So that's another thing that people, and again, not every choice is right for every survivor, but things that people may not know about that are available to them, even if we at Helpline don't do it, you know, we have our database, as Tamiko was saying, of resources and can give them that information. Right. So it's kind of like a network.
And that's what we would do is just, gosh, there are so many options and ways of, you know, trauma treatment for you. And then just letting them know that it exists and that, you know, things like these treatments are out there and that they could try it out.
What you're feeling is real. And
absolutely.
You know, there's an avenue for you to be able to release these things that you're going through. And I think that's so important that, you know, because there is a fear. Once you've been assaulted, whether sexually or any type of assault, there's a fear, you know, there's do I feel like going out my door today? Yeah. Or, you know, should I call my friend? It comes to a point sometimes you don't trust anybody, you know, because of that fear. It can be anything.
And what we see, too, is that with survivors of intimate partner sexual violence,
somebody they know and really having a relationship
and
with,
so
right?
Part of the partnership between, you know, mental health counselors and advocates is parsing that apart.
Okay.
And when a fear is valid, you know, like, yeah, this person could actually still be stalking me, or they still could be trying to gain access to me.
Right.
Versus a fear that is no longer there, you know. And so really, working with that person, we do a lot of safety planning, we call it, and kind of really recognizing what we call lethality, which simply means how dangerous is this sexual assault perpetrator to this person. Right. And then we can do safety planning. And, well, gosh, you know, if you're afraid today and you know that, you know, that you're going to see this person or whatever, we can help plan with folks around that. Therapists are great to really help them with the mental health aspect, you know, and emotional well-being. And then we can say, all right, and this is an app that you can download that'll contact the police right away if you feel like you're going to be harmed.
Right. Mm-hmm. And women should pay more attention to that intuition that they have. Because, you know, we have that. And sometimes we'll dismiss that feeling. Well, maybe it's just me being jittery or whatever, you know, but there's just something within a woman that's saying, I'm not too sure about that. Maybe I should stay away from that. And, you know, sometimes we allow ourselves to be too close to people that we're not comfortable with in the first place, right?
I'm going to paraphrase Audre Lorde's quote. We've used this before. You know, self-care is not selfish. Not at all. And if you have that gut feeling, if you have something that makes you uncomfortable and disturbs a peace within you, you can do something about it.
Right.
You know, you really can. And I'm just going to keep plugging our number. Again, you can text the word helpline to 898-211. You can call us through 211 or our 800 number at 800-684-2324. And again, you can start there.
Right. And when I said that, I thought about the young lady. I know many of you may have heard about her getting in that Uber car. You know, she had a call for a driver, and she got in that Uber car. I don't know if she wasn't paying attention or just hopped in the car. And I'm thinking, where did he come from in the first place? If, you know, if she wasn't he wasn't the one that she called, it was like he just drove right up. She got right on in the car and went on. I'm thinking, wow. We need to pay more closer attention to things.
I think I would flip it, though.
Yeah.
I think what I would say is she's living her everyday life.
Right.
As a woman, as a young woman who says, I have a right to be safe in this world.
Right.
I have a right to trust things that are occurring in my, you know, life. And I have power as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of her not recognizing things, intuition can be good. It's sometimes it can be false, and sometimes we don't even have that, right?
Or late, right.
And so on the other, so the flip side then is, no, it's him.
Right.
This man came up to purposefully harm her and to purposefully deceive her.
I know,
perpetrators,
so
I've found over all these years, they're very good at what they do.
Mm.
They can be very charming. They can be very convincing. They're good at what they do, and so. Yeah, so intuition maybe isn't the best, way.
Analogy, I got you.
Or, you know, way to look at it.
Right, right.
Instead, it's, okay, what can Uber and what can the rest of the community do to prevent this?
Right. That was bizarre. Bizarre things happen, though. Every day, you know, and like you said, we're just not up on it. We can't be. Because things just happen sometimes, you know, suddenly, like, we had no idea it was going to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for women to understand that they're free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm free in this world. I have a right to exist. I have a right to go here and there or where I need to go. I have a right to call an Uber driver. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my power. That's within me. But who knows when something terrible is going to happen. But unfortunately for her, that was her last experience. And with us being on the air, we can probably help prevent some future mishaps, you know, with other young people, whether it's driving, riding your bike, or going to the store, or going to school. I mean, it happens anywhere. It doesn't matter where mm-hmm. it is, right?
Mm-hmm. I think, too, that community members, friends, family, they can be bystanders. Mm-hmm. So people really can intervene. Mm-hmm. If they see something unusual, you know, speak up. There's lots of different ways. If, you know, campus sexual assault is something that we've been talking a lot about, that age group tends to be high risk for that. Right. But, you know, if you're at a party and you see someone possibly passing someone else's boundaries, you know, intervening, say, you know, hey, Christy, let's go get a pizza. You know, taking somebody out of that situation, it's always better to just be embarrassed, you know, yeah, perhaps yeah, be over vigilant yeah. and you can True. Say, oh, well, you know, so.
Oh, well, remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the yeah. real prevention work is. And so, you know, as you were saying, gosh, it could happen anywhere.
Yeah.
It could. Again, these, we're talking about sexual assault today. Mm-hmm. Every time we go out in the world, we can be safe. But sometimes yes. these things do happen. It's incumbent on us in the community and our friends and our neighbors and our teachers and all of us to say, but what can I do mm-hmm. in these moments? What policy can I put in place? Or how can I be a friend when we're going to this party? You know, how can I step up and do my part? And that's what prevention and accountability can look like.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've heard men say, well, I know I can look at her and tell she's easy, or I can pounce on her. I mean, men say things like that. You know, like you say, they're very good at what they do, you know, or paying attention to people, reading their body language and things mm-hmm. like that, you know. And maybe we should become more aware of some of those things, too, as women.
Well, I think exactly what you said, when you hear someone saying that, and often we may not be privy to that conversation.
Right, right.
Men may talk differently with men, is what mm-hmm. we've learned.
True.
So really empowering men to speak up, you know. Right. Language is so important, yes. and the meaning that we give to words. So when you hear something like that, you know, speak up. Yes. You know, that's just not okay. That's not okay.
It's not. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Hear that, men? Hope right. you're listening to that. You can help with mm-hmm. this, too, the hotline, and helping to keep men and women safe, because mm-hmm. it's not just women that's being assaulted. Mm-hmm. It's also men, you know, mm-hmm. and it's sad that we have to say that in the time that mm-hmm. we're living in, but that's just reality. Mm-hmm. It's just reality. Mm-hmm. So this hotline is a great, great thing. So how long have you been in operating?
Yeah. Well, Helpline has been around since 1970. So we've wow. been around for quite some time, and we've expanded. Obviously, we started initially in Delaware and Morrill counties. We now serve 7 counties. So we're Delaware, Morrill, Shelby, Union, Logan, Crawford, Wyandotte. And obviously, if anyone from Marion calls us, we will certainly be there to help refer them to services as well. Mm-hmm. So we've answered about 16,000 calls on our hotline last year.
Last year?
Yeah. Just last year. We get about 11,600 and some odd texts each year. And these ladies, you know, they work hard. They do about 7,000 hours of on-call advocacy referral work, and they've helped about almost 300 survivors last year. So we've been around for some time, and I think one of the things that your listeners can do is support Helpline.
Yes.
Support us through our prevention efforts and our work. You can donate to us, helplinedelmore.org. That's DELMOR.org. And if there's public policy out there that aligns with prevention efforts, vote.
Yes.
Vote. Show
yes.
up and vote.
Yes. Yes.
Because our program is relying on there being, you know, public policy that affirms us, but also in the work that we do. We need that community support, and that again, affirmation helps us do what we do each and every day.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at the calendar. I think we're voting May the 7th.
Mm-hmm. May 7th, yeah.
I think, yes. too, what people can do, maybe they can't donate. We always need volunteers with
okay.
SARN.
Yeah.
So people go through a 40-hour training, and some people want to just come to the training, but it's just for people that want to volunteer. It's an amazing training. We talk about cultural humility. We talk about sexual assault statistics, ways to listen. But after the training, if it's a good fit, then they can actually respond to the hospital, and they'll be on call. They can pick their shifts a month. A lot of people have found it very empowering that this seems so overwhelming and there's nothing we can do. But each individual can make a difference. And yes. for some people, as I started as a volunteer, I knew I was on call. I could go out if someone needed me. And to me, that would be really fulfilling. Right. So we invite people to contact us to volunteer as well.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I like what you said about being healthy. What does healthy masculinity look like? Being a healthy male.
Yeah.
You know, and my daughter has my grandson. He's going to be 15. May 6th, I think. One day this week, anyway. and she says, Mom, I talk to him about everything. Every little thing that comes up on the news or what's going on at the school, she talks to him about everything. And she actually asks him, what does he think about certain things, you know? Mm-hmm. Or what does, if I say that you disrespected me, what do you think I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which is making him think. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't know what the word means, then get out the dictionary and look it up. I mean, I thought that was really great, you know. And I'm sure she's not the only one, only mother that's dealing with her young people that way. But we just need to do that. We just need to do that so we can communicate with one another and be open and know that there are boundaries. There are things that's okay and there's things that are not okay, even though it looks okay. Or you see someone else acting that way or doing that, it's just not. So what are your ambitions for 2019? Since you're so busy over there.
Our ambitions are simply to continue to reach out, to continue to let our service area know that we're here. Helpline is here. The SARN program is here to help people who have been survivors of sexual assault, who know somebody who was a survivor of sexual assault. We also work with what they're called co-survivors. And so
partners... Is that like a codependent or something?
Co-survivor could be the parents of a child that was assaulted, okay. or maybe a partner of the adult that was assaulted.
Right.
And, you know, just really letting folks know that... there's a whole service and a community out there that we just want to offer them to help them out. And so we have done over, 300 calls and worked with 300 survivors last year. We'd like to grow that. We know that so many more people are experiencing this in, this area here. And we just want to reach out. That's all.
I'm sure.
Yep.
Marion, if it's happening everywhere else, it's got to be happening here, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you have taken time out of your busy schedules to come here and let this awareness be known once again, because they were here last year, Tamika was. And it's very important that those of you who are listening, you may not have called in, but you may know of someone who has need of the hotline or... You know, sometimes I just let people know, well, if this happens to you, here's something you could put in your pocket, in your purse, or, here's this number in case you need it. You know, when young people go out, even just to the skating rink, you just never know when someone may need the hotline. So I'm going to let these ladies wind up before we're off the air. We have a few minutes left, and... to make a share with us some of your greatest, experiences you've had.
Oh, wow.
With the hotline.
Well, my role is a little bit one step away from the hotline. So my role is really to support and champion programs like SARN. So spreading awareness, making sure that people know where to access resources. So really that is my job, to make sure that people are aware of the resources that are in their communities. And I can say, after having returned to Helpline, I've been back with the organization for 2 years, we just continue to grow, continue to spread the message, the word. We just want people to know that, to be their best selves, having a community where they can thrive. Our motto is about hope, health, and healing. Yes. We want to make sure that people can feel that they're safe in their communities, and whether that's through our SARN program, through the prevention education that we do in the schools, through our 211 hotline, whatever it is, making sure, again, people have what they need to be their best selves and to be safe in their communities.
That's true. That is so great.
And what about you, your greatest experience?
Well, I think, you know, it's great if Helpline is the first call, but yes. often we're the last call.
Really?
It's people that are falling through the cracks and don't know where else to go.
Okay.
So just when you said that, it reminded me of a call that we had where they were driving around in a car mm-hmm. and just didn't know where to go. Mm. Got hooked up with our Helpline, got hooked up with the SARM program, and we just said, come in. You know, and we met with them. We got them the community resources and referrals they needed. We educated them about the steps that they could take right, right. in terms of a sexual assault. Right. You know, and later we just found out that we were a beacon for them. You know, they didn't know where to go, and we right. were there. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to just continue that, of course, in 2019 for more people.
Does the police, like 911, if someone was to call 911 here in Marion, Ohio, do they have the connection with your program in Delaware? And we're at the last couple seconds. Is that, will you give your hotline again?
Well, sure. So we usually tell people for any health and human service crisis, right, to call 211. But 911, certainly, if you're in imminent danger, immediate danger, you certainly should call your local authorities through 911 to do that. But if there's something else that we can help you with on the health, excuse me, I'm tripping over my words, in human services side, then certainly dial 211.
Right. Well, thank you, ladies, for that. And thank you for coming. I have really enjoyed you, and I'm sure those who are listening have enjoyed you also. You've been listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
You know, Abe, there's been this thing for years that people thought you were dead. Do you think that has worked against you in your career?
Well, I wasn't that crazy about it, but I accepted it. That's what it was. People thought I was dead. And I would walk into a Bloomingdale's department store. The salesman said, you know, you look like the late Abe Vigoda. I said, oh, really? Well, then I think I'll buy a suit now that you mentioned that. Why? Because I'm alive, young man. The man couldn't believe it.
To Emmy Award-winning star of Picket Fences, Five-ish Finkel.
What's the secret to getting to 92?
You don't know, I always believe in one thing, that the Lord up there, he calls you when he needs you.
Is there a role?
And he says, I don't want you, Five-ish. I got better acts than you upstairs. He says, I'll call you when I have a vacancy. I says, take your time, Lord.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Search for us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783.